In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Monday, December 19th, 2016 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. The 306 Republican electors who are supposed to cast their votes today for President-elect Donald Trump have been subject to intense campaigns orchestrated by anti-Trump forces to convince them that they alone can block him from the White House. For example, the Washington Post reports that one Republican elector named Rex Teeter, a 59-year-old music teacher and preacher, received about 35,000 emails and 200 letters urging him not to support Donald Trump. A group known as the Hamilton Electors have been organizing efforts to contact electors in hopes of changing their minds. They believe the goal to deny Trump seems reachable, if not probable. The group needs to identify just 37 Republicans willing to vote for some other candidate, at which point the choice of president would shift to the U.S. House of Representatives. Leftists are getting desperate now, as illustrated by filmmaker Michael Moore's comments on MSNBC's All In with Chris Hayes.
Listen, we are hours away now from the Electoral College coming together on Monday. This needs protest. This needs people's voices. You can go to vigilsforamerica.org, and they have the list of all the state protests at the state capitals this weekend and on Monday. People need to have their voice heard. Don't say to yourself, well, what's the use? Nothing's going to happen. You don't know that. That's why we have to keep fighting. We have to fight all the way to Inauguration Day and then be ready for them to start the day after the inauguration, passing law after law after law.
And you think protesting on Inauguration Day and
protesting, obstructing, disrupting, civil disobedience. I mean, the man has no right to enter that house.
There appears to be hope for Hyun Soo Lim, the 62-year-old South Korean-born Canadian pastor who was sentenced to hard labor for life in December 2015 for what North Korea absurdly claims was an attempt to overthrow the regime, reports Reuters. Diplomats from Canada paid a rare visit to North Korea last week and were able to see the Canadian pastor. In January, Lim told CNN he spends 8 hours a day digging holes at a labor camp. A middle school football team's coach near Tallahassee, Florida, was reprimanded for kneeling along with his team while his players prayed, reports Fox News. This time, the Grinch behind the brouhaha was the atheist group, the Freedom From Religion Foundation. An October 7th video shows Coach Eddie Metcalf, quote, taking a knee, unquote, in the pregame huddle. Coach Metcalf said, quote, the prayer in question was a student-initiated prayer, and I was kneeling with them. I didn't know I couldn't. But since then, I've been instructed on that particular situation. When the kids start to pray, I have to walk away and turn my back, unquote. Acts 5:29 says, we must obey God rather than man. For the 13th consecutive year, the Pro-Life Action League organized the Peace in the Womb Caroling Day, bringing the Christmas message of peace and joy to the darkness of abortion mills in 60 cities across 28 states, reports Life News. Eric Scheidler, the executive director, said, quote, we will never truly have peace as long as unborn children are not even safe in their mother's wombs. Christmas is a time of reconciliation. Jesus was born to reconcile the world to himself, and it is our hope that every mother will be reconciled to her unborn child, no matter how difficult the circumstances, unquote. A fuel tanker slid over a concrete wall, burst into flames, and exploded early Saturday due to an ice storm and slick roads on Interstate 95 through Baltimore, Maryland, reports WTOP Radio. The explosion resulted in a 67-car pileup and 3 fatalities. Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards, a Democrat, went too far in April when he issued a homosexual workplace executive order, according to Louisiana Judge Todd Hernandez's ruling last Wednesday, reports World Magazine. The judge sided with Republican Attorney General Jeff Landry, who claimed the order went too far by demanding organizations compromise their beliefs on marriage and sexuality as a condition for winning government contracts. A new study conducted by the Evangelical Alliance in Britain finds that 9 out of 10 evangelicals in the UK will either volunteer or give to charity during the Christmas season. That's about 8 times the generosity found in the wider population. Jesus said, "It is better to give than to receive." Acts 20:35. 15-year-old Ryan Manchester says he thought someone was trying to break into his Frederick, Maryland home on December 5th when he heard banging at the door, reports the Frederick News Post. Instead, he found a fully grown deer dashing, not through the snow, but behind the Christmas tree and through the living room as he tried to break out through a window. The deer won't be helping Santa deliver any gifts this Christmas Eve, since Manchester got his father's gun and shot the animal between the eyes from behind his living room couch. Now there's a conversation stopper, and that's the worldview in 5 minutes on this Monday, December 19th, in the year of our Lord, 2016. As we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ this season, remember the worldview in your Christmas giving. You can make a donation online at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm a homeschool father of five, also a pastor of a church out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Ran for governor of the state of Colorado in 1994. I hope you voted for me. Bill Jack in studio with me today.
I wasn't old enough to vote then,
I don't think,
Kevin.
You were, yeah. But anyway, I lost, and that's one reason why I have this radio program. But, you know, politics is not the end-all and be-all of everything, and yet it is something of an indication of the heart of the nation. And certainly Satan at points does deceive the nation. He's called the deceiver of the nations. And I would say that the nations have been largely deceived, especially if we look at the universities, the political state, the judicial systems that have approved of homosexual marriage in just about every Western nation, every developed nation over the last 10 years. It appears that the devil has deceived the nations, and I think we as Christians need to point that out from time to time. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age.
But at the same time, Kevin, I think we should take heart. You mentioned it's not the heart of everything, but we should take heart because in this recent election, we saw people rise up and demand that Congress, that the elected officials lean back towards a biblical worldview.
Well, I'm not convinced of that yet, Bill, but I'm a wait and seer. You know, I know you may be a little more optimistic
more optimistic than you, perhaps, but you know, there's news that says we may not be as optimistic as
we should
be. Yes.
Well, Governor Kasich did what Republicans do best.
Now, he's claimed to be pro-life.
Oh yes,
Kasich is a pro-life
supposed to
advocate.
Supposed to be one of the leading candidates on the pro-life ticket for the Republicans in the presidential race that we just emerged out of. And Governor Kasich did what Republicans do best. And of course, I say this because I've said it many times in this program. Don't you dare count on them. Some trust in horses, some in Democrats, some Republicans, but we will trust in the Lord our God. We'll keep that in mind.
Because men tend towards the evil.
Well, in this case,
because the nature of man is flawed, because man is basically evil.
And he proves the point here as he vetoes the heartbeat bill.
Now, what's the heartbeat bill?
The heartbeat bill was the bill that would have illegalized most abortions in the state of Ohio past the sixth or seventh week, the week at which the heartbeat is discerned or detectable by doctors. And that's somewhere around the sixth or seventh week.
What a great bill.
Oh, yeah. Tremendous bill.
And it's a step in the right direction.
And Governor Kasich took a step in the wrong direction by vetoing the bill. James Dobson was not happy with him.
No.
We're not happy with him.
I'm not happy with him. I think Kasich is the ultimate rhino. He's the ultimate Trojan horse. And what he's done is he's gathered the support of Christians who are pro-lifers, and then he turns on them because I have a good friend, Mark Harrington, who is with a ministry called Created Equal, And Mark is in Ohio.
He's been on the show before.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Great guy, good friend of mine. And you talk about somebody who is passionate and intentional about saving the lives of babies. He is. So I am sure that he is just livid with what Kasich
this has reminds
done.
Me of the Indiana governor and how he handled RFRA 2 years ago. Remember that?
Was that Pence?
I think it was Mike Pence.
Now the vice president-elect.
You're right. I'm sorry. I didn't put that together. But this was some 2 years ago when he waffled on RFRA and did not protect Christians in his state from persecution, religious persecution. Really sad. It's sad to see what Republicans do. But when the going gets tough and when we need to engage with courage and faith against the media, against the zeitgeist, against all the forces of darkness, against all the political forces of the day, when the going gets tough and when the test really comes to bear upon these Republicans, they tend to do the wrong thing. Why? Because of a lapse of faith. If there's a lapse of faith, there's not the willingness to place their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor on the line for principle.
And that is clearly illustrated in the reasoning that Kasich used. Kasich said the bill would invite lengthy and costly litigation and had provisions that are, quote, clearly contrary, end quote, to Supreme Court abortion rulings. And here is a direct quote from Kasich. Such a defeat invites additional challenges to Ohio's strong legal protections for unborn life, he wrote in his veto message. CNN reported that he went on to say, therefore, this veto is in the public interest, end quote. What?
But perhaps not in God's interest.
What convoluted reasoning is this? You either stand for principle and for life, or you're going to cave and participate in the death of millions of children.
And again, these things are risks, and you take risks when you do something like this, sign a bill like this. You may be in litigation for a very long time against the Supreme Court of the United States. So be it.
So be it.
Some of us are called to battle. Some Davids are actually called to battle the Goliaths, and some run away as fast as they possibly can. And we see this with Republicans all the time. No surprise here at all. Be back in just a moment with more on the Generations Broadcast.
Loving parents want to give good gifts to their children. But how do you sort through all the worthless stuff out there to find fresh, engaging, and meaningful gifts? At Generations, we've been on the hunt for months gathering some of the finest new resources for children, young adults, and the entire family, including fun games, audio dramas, Christian biographies, historical fiction, short stories, and other exceptional family resources. And now we'd like to share them with you, along with a special discount. Until December 31st, get 10 to 45% off everything in our store. Go to generations.org/gifts to explore our top 8 gift ideas for the entire family. That's generations.org/gifts. Offer ends December 31st.
And we're back on the Generations Radio Broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson, Bill Jack with us. Disappointed with Governor Kasich, who vetoed the heartbeat bill, a beautiful opportunity to make a mark for the cause of righteousness in an age, of course, where the trend tends to be towards more killing, more murder, and more violation of God's law at every single point.
He had the opportunity to put his finger in the dike and keep the dike intact rather than letting the flood the country, flood Ohio with abortions.
And indeed, the little Dutch boy stood there faithfully, kept his fingers in the dikes, and saved that country. And yet, the Netherlands is not doing well. And I'm going to shift towards Netherlands, because Netherlands is the nation that has been leading the march in the pro-death approach. Of course, they've legalized abortion, but they've also legalized euthanasia. And they're euthanizing alcoholics now. And thinking about drug addicts. And they've euthanized 650 babies under their assisted suicide law thus far. And I could give you more and more. But the Netherlands is probably one of the most evil nations in Europe. If you were to think, you know, what's the evil nation in Europe today? What's the most wicked nation in Europe today? You'd probably say it's the Netherlands. It's the Dutch. It's a very sad thing because, of course, the Dutch had a reformed legacy and they fought off the Inquisition. And William the Silent was a great hero, one of my greatest heroes. I talk about him in my book, Freedom. But, of course, Netherlands has really led the apostasy. Sadly, the Dutch have led the apostasy in the Western world, along with a few others as well. But the Dutch have been certainly, you know, the apostate nation in Europe and have led the charge in many different areas. And that's why, as we see that they're shutting down on the freedom of speech, it should be no surprise to you at all. Apparently, the anti-Islamic Dutch MP, Geert Wilders, has been found guilty of inciting racial discrimination because he said something at a party rally at The Hague in March of 2014, asking whether there should be fewer or more Moroccans in the Netherlands. That was it. And for that, he's been taken to trial. And
such hateful speech.
Yeah. And ultimately came down to the fact that he's pointing out that the Moroccans and the growth of the Islamic religion in the Netherlands has not been healthy for that country. But I take issue at this point, friends. And I think we need to think a lot more clearly about these sorts of things. Is that really the issue? If the Netherlands is the most evil nation in Europe today, is it because of the Moroccans? Were the Moroccans the ones that introduced homosexual marriage in the year 2000? Was it the Moroccans that brought about this most egregious, one of the most wicked policies in the history of mankind in the Netherlands in the year 2000? Again, it was the Netherlands that led the charge on homosexual marriage. You wonder why. It's in, what, some 65 nations around the world today. You wonder why. It's taken over all of Europe, almost all of North America and South America, and portions of other nations around the world. Why has it taken down the developed nations? The Netherlands led the charge in some of the most evil things that this world has confronted in the last 50 or 60 years. Now, it's sad because, again, they've got a great legacy all the way back to the Reformation and during World War II.
They opposed the Nazis.
They opposed the Nazis.
Corrie ten Boom story is
now
just
they're
amazing.
Beginning to appear more like Nazis with what they're doing with assisted suicide and euthanasia.
You know, I went through the Netherlands, spent one night in Amsterdam on my way to Romania back in the '90s to preach the gospel in Romania right after it was liberated from Ceausescu, and that one night in the Netherlands in Amsterdam, porn was rampant.
Yeah,
you had sex. Streets.
Yeah.
Okay. It was just unbelievable.
Awful. Just awful.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
This is the city of again, great Christians.
Yes. At
one
point.
Time. Uh-huh. At one time.
My friends, you're looking at a microcosm of the apostasy of the entire Western world, but the Netherlands, Amsterdam, has led the march. The Netherlands was the first nation to bring in homosexual weddings. The Dutch parliament began granting same-sex couples domestic partnership benefits on January 1st, 1998. Again, this is the legacy of the breakdown of the Christian influence in the entire Western world. Began in the Netherlands. The Netherlands legalized prostitution in 2000. That was 1 year before they legalized the sexual perversion of homosexuality and homosexual marriage in that same country. Legalized prostitution in the year 2000. There are tens of thousands of prostitutes in this nation. It leads the world in prostitution, and they have not solved the problem of forced prostitution, forced slavery, and underage prostitutes being shipped in from Cambodia and elsewhere. Just read it online, read it on the news stories. Friends, this is the nation that's leading the charge in some of the worst sexual perversions in the world. And we've got a problem with the Moroccans? Give me a break. Now, this is how conservative politicians get it wrong. I mean, they get it wrong. They get it all wrong, all wrong, all wrong. If somebody robs a crack house, Bill, it's hard to get too concerned about it. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
The Netherlands is a crack house, and immigrants are coming in. Oh, horrors. Oh, horrors. Shouldn't we be more concerned that the Netherlands has turned into a crack house? Let me read from Deuteronomy 28, because this applies to the Netherlands. If there's anybody from the Netherlands listening to this program, God bless you. God help you. God help you to preach the word of God. and call a nation to repentance, beginning, of course, with the Church of Jesus Christ, comes a point at which repentance begins in the household of God. And I think this is the problem, Bill. I think the problem has gone badly in the churches, first and foremost. And so until there's preachers who bring the Word of God, the salient Word of God, to the sins of the day, to the people of God, in the house of God, calling the people of God to repent, true repentance, call those Laodicean churches, those Sardis churches, to repentance. There's no hope for nations. No hope for nations. But listen to Deuteronomy 28:15 and tell me if this might apply to the Netherlands, Bill. It shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, that is, as a nation. If you as a nation do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city. Cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall you be in your basket, your kneading bowl. Cursed shall you be in the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flocks. Cursed shall you be when you come in. Cursed shall you be when you go out. The alien who is among you shall rise higher and higher above you, and you shall come down lower and lower. He shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. Now tell me if maybe that has not happened to the Netherlands. They've had a birth rate that's been imploding since 1970, my friends. 1970. Their birth rates have been imploding since 1970. Since 1970. America's birth rate's been imploding over the last 9 years or so, since about 2004, 2005. But these guys, their birth rates have been imploding since 1970. And you know what? Their economy is not going to survive without immigration. Everybody knows this. And that's, of course, why those who rule the nation inevitably have to compensate for the birth rate by opening the gates towards immigration. Friends, this is what's happening in the Netherlands. The problem with the Netherlands is not the Moroccans. And Geert Wilders, I know a lot of conservatives are really head over heels in love with this guy, but friends, that's not the problem with the Netherlands. The problem with the Netherlands is they're shot through with a death wish. It's their abortion. It's their euthanasia. It's their euthanasia for 650 babies. It's a euthanizing alcoholics. It's the approval of homosexual marriage. It's Amsterdam. It's the approval of prostitution. This nation is shot through with evil. And as the Word of God tells us in no uncertain terms, if a nation is filled with these transgressions, for the transgression of the people, many are the princes thereof. Of course, there's going to be tyranny. Of course, tyranny is going to dominate. Freedom of speech will be gone, et cetera, et cetera. Why? For the transgression of the people. Many are the princes thereof. Therefore, for the conservatives, the Geert Wilders, they should not be all that interested in immigration. They should be interested in the moral issues. Yes. They should be interested in bringing a repentance to the people in the Netherlands, or that nation is shot to pieces. Either you'll be governed by God, or by God you'll be governed.
And that's the problem, because he's dealing with a symptom. And yet, because he's dealing with the symptom, he has become the target. Mark Stein, who's a commentator, he says, Geert is under round-the-clock guard because of explicit threats to murder him by Muslim extremists, yet he's the one who gets put on trial for incitement in 21st century Amsterdam. You're free to smoke marijuana, pick out a half-naked sex partner from the front window of a shop, but you can be put on trial for holding the wrong opinion about a bloke who died in the 7th century.
But why? Here's why. For the transgression of the people, many of the princes thereof.
Yep.
Either you'll be governed by God, or by God you'll be governed. These conservatives, they do their best to try to retain some freedom of speech, and they want to maintain something of a nationalistic perspective on things, and perhaps strong borders, et cetera, et cetera. But inevitably, they're going to bring more tyranny to that country. Why? Because it's inevitable.
If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do?
Exactly.
There's no foundation for their position. The foundation has to be a biblical foundation in order to have liberty. It's only where the Spirit of the Lord is that there is liberty.
So what do conservatives do? Do they work on immigration, work on a couple of window trimmings, 27 floors up there, in order to just kind of fix the building with a little duct tape while there are 8-foot fissures in the foundations of the basement? Well, my suggestion is to take a peek at the foundations. My suggestion is to go back to the concrete. Janina's concrete. You need to rebuild the foundations. Well, how do you do that? The preaching of the Word of God in the public spheres,
everywhere, including at the Hague, every single day. The preaching of the Word of God, people with a willingness to stand up and preach the character of God, the nature of God, and the redemption that is brought by Jesus, and call the nations to repentance. What the Netherlands needs is regeneration. They need a new heart. These people need a new heart. They need to be changed from the inside out. Otherwise, what do you do with politics? Not very much.
It's a Band-Aid on a hemorrhaging elephant.
There you go. That's a picture. Okay, well, my friends, I think we'd apply that to the United States as well. But the Netherlands, of course, is leading the pack on all of this. They're the ones that have approved of drugs. They're the ones that have approved of homosexuality. They're the ones who have approved of prostitution. They've attempted the approval of just about every possible sin that's destructive and is sure to destroy their nation as they can possibly find. And apparently there is no real need found to address the sins of the day and from the perspective of even the conservatives. I would love to hear from some conservatives in the Netherlands, some Christians in the Netherlands, who have a commitment to God's law. Bill, I mean, just one or two. And perhaps there are some listening to the program that could write in to us at host@kevinswanson.com.
And you know what, Kevin? We would urge Americans to contact Governor Kasich. He's leading us down the path to the Netherlands. And they need to contact Governor Kasich's office and express their disgust and their disdain for this cowardice on his part of vetoing this heartbeat bill.
People are going to say, well, what does that have to do with the solidity of the nation? What does that have to do with our freedoms? What does that have to do with protecting us from terrorists that will shoot up our country and bomb our cities? The answer is everything. Yeah. Why?
The greatest terrorism is being perpetrated against unborn children right now.
God is bringing judgment on the Netherlands through terrorism. Why? Why would he do that? Why would he bring his judgment? Well, I would suggest it may have something to do with their sin. God brings judgment upon nations for their sins. In Acts 17, we're told that God calls all peoples everywhere to repentance because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the nations and the world. Well, let's make sure that we're addressing the sins of our nation first and foremost. And let's address these nations first in our own lives, in our own families, in our own churches, our own communities, and then let's get involved in politics as well and engage the moral issues in politics. You know, it was for the shedding of innocent blood. It was for the sin of homosexuality that God brought judgment upon the nations of Canaan, the nation of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he will do the same thing to these nations today. Friends, it's the idea that, you know, God doesn't care anymore. He's not holding people to a standard as he held those nations in the Old Testament is wrong thinking. Paul said in Acts 17, he winked at some of these things that were going on in the Old Testament era. But now he's calling all men everywhere to repent. Well, we need to call our nation to repentance as well. And one way to do that is to contact Governor Kasich's office. This would be a good time to do it.
Here's his office number, 614-466-3555. That's 614-466-3555.
All right, that's the number to call, my friends, if you'd like to just share a message with the governor's office. Call Governor Kasich and tell him to stand on principle. Tell him to not to fear man. Tell him not to fear the Supreme Court of the United States. Tell him not to fear the media. Tell him to fear God. Because that is first and foremost. That is the beginning of knowledge. That's the beginning of wisdom. And that is the first qualification for anybody. Who's going to be a civil magistrate. He must rule righteously in the fear of God. And if he's fearing anything else, and if he vetoed that heartbeat bill because he's fearing the Supreme Court of the United States, he's not fearing God. Call him at 614-466-3555. And this is Kevin Swanson, Bill Jack in studio, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.